Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
I mean, I've had to show my butt in an audition before. I've had to kiss in an audition before. I've been put on the spot where they asked me to, you know, dance and take my shirt off, and like, all that stuff has happened.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in this wild industry, and I make them share a couple bad audition stories with me. It's always a good time. As a precursor before this episode starts, I had COVID when we were recording this. I might sound a little like stuffy and a little loopy because honestly, COVID brain is real, and I kept forgetting what I wanted to say. So there's that. But I am good now. I am over it. It was so quick. It was the first time I've had it. I never have had it before. Science. Thank you, science, for making that not so awful. Kind of just felt like a head cold, but we are good now. Yay. Today on the show, we have Robert Palmer Watkins. You may remember him from General Hospital, or maybe you've seen him on The Walking Dead World Beyond. He has two new films out, one of which is called The Final Rose and sounds hysterical, and the other one is Ghosts of Hiroshima, and we had a fantastic time. So here's my conversation with Robert. And welcome to the show, Robert!
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to have you on today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, you've had quite an extensive career, and I definitely want to talk to you about all the new stuff that you have coming up, because I feel like you have so many things happening. But before we get into all of that, I want to go back to the very, very, very beginning and ask, how did you catch the acting bug?
I was actually trying to remember. It's been so long now. I used to have like a go-to, like it's very specific story, and then the other... thinking it, and I was like, God, it's been so long. Is that still, that's still accurate, right? But as far as I remember, I was always very into the arts as a kid. I was like very into drawing and visual arts, and I actually really wanted to be an animator when I grew up.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. Wait, what was your favorite animated film as a child?
Gosh, I mean, I was obsessed with, you know, Disney movies and dinosaurs and I had a sketchbook, and every day just hours and hours and hours. And then when I was in, I guess, middle school, we lived with, you know, the kids in the neighborhood. We got a hold of some video cameras finally. I mean, this was like back in the day. So like video camera, not even everybody had a video or a phone that they could film stuff on. But I guess we finally got one. We were probably late to the game because my parents were not very techie. But as soon as we got a video camera, I just started filming, walking around, filming sketches and filming, you know, getting the neighborhood kids together, filming little scenes, coming up with characters, making short films. And I was just doing it for fun. I just thought it was a blast. Yeah. My idols were like Jim Carrey, and I loved Saturday Night Live and In Living Color. And I just loved playing these wild different characters. And then in high school, my teacher convinced me to audition for the play. They needed guys. And that's not necessarily the cool thing to do in the South.
Right.
And that's not really like the cool thing. But those were the people that I clicked. I vibed with. I mean, I got along with everybody. I've always liked all different types of people, and I never had like one type of friend. I kind of like bounced around from, you know what I mean? But
you were the social butterfly going between the peer groups.
Yeah, but I always felt like in the South, I always felt like more artistic, and I felt a little more like an outcast. And when I did my first play, I loved it, first of all, being up on stage and playing a character and having the energy from the audience. And it's almost like you're playing a sport because you're literally like relying on your teammates up there. Mm-hmm. You're live in the moment. If you fail, you fail together. You got to recover together. The audience is watching, you know, I mean, something about that dynamic was really enticing to me. And then also I just really vibed with the people. For some reason, the people that came together to do theater and do the arts were all kind of maybe a little bit of the outcast, a little bit of the misfits, but all so unique and kind and loving and welcoming. And I just vibed. I found like I found my people.
Yeah.
Artistic, deep thinkers, overthinkers, emotional, but like sometimes too sensitive, but strong. I don't know. I found my people, and I just kept going with it. I did every play in high school. Then I auditioned for a Center for the Arts high school. So half of the day I would actually take a bus and do more theater classes over at another high school.
Wow.
So I got like double training, which was really, really cool. And then I went to, I'll try to wrap this up. I know this is a long-winded answer.
No, please.
After high school, I went to Christopher Newport University, majored in musical theater for a year and a half. I was really, really antsy to get to New York or LA. So my parents finally said, okay, we can tell you're not happy, you know, we'll support you moving out to one of the big cities, but please go to some type of schooling, or please have a plan, you know?
Right.
And my mom had seen a flyer for AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, at my old high school, I guess, because my little sister was now at my old high school, and she had come across this flyer for the school. And she said, Rob, why don't you go audition, you know, take the train up to New York and audition. And they've got a campus in LA. They've got a campus in New York. Mm-hmm. You can decide campus if you get accepted. So I did. I went up, I auditioned, did a monologue. I think I had to do a song. I got accepted. And then I chose the LA campus. And then that's when I went to AMDA for 2.5 years. And then since then, I've just been a journey.
It has been.
Yeah.
That is quite the journey. Do you still sing?
From like art, visual art, drawing and painting to more using my body to tell a story. Form. And I don't know why. It's like I switched, and I don't even really draw or paint anymore. And I want to get back into that, because for some reason, when I started doing acting and music, I think my creative, my creativity was filled. I felt fulfilled by like the acting and performing part. So I stopped drawing, and I don't know. I miss it. People ask me all the time if I still draw, and I'm like, I want to get back into it.
But you should. Drawing's fun.
It is, and it's so relaxing. There's something like therapeutic about it, to just sit there, you know, in silence.
I was always like a doodler. I just would do like random things on notebooks.
Yeah. In class or?
Well, not really class. I was homeschooled most of my growing up because I've been an actor since I was a kid. So, I mean, most of my time was in homeschool, but I just like doodling. I would doodle on my like hands too. I don't know if you did that as a teenager, where you just like write on your hands and like your jeans and stuff. Stupid.
Right.
Okay, but wait, so do you still sing? Do you still have interest in musical theater?
Yeah, I actually have music out. My artist name is Palmer. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music. I have 3 singles out right now, Waiting, Clean Cut, and Walking Dead. I've got like 3 more that are pretty much ready to be released
Wow.
with music videos and stuff. And I've just kind of like, I got very busy with acting the past like year. I had all these projects that I was filming and kind of releasing, and I just kind of switched gears. But I definitely have more music coming out. And my sound is kind of like an R&B kind of pop feel. But yeah, look me up, Palmer. I just go by my middle name for my music.
I like
music.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, so you come out here, you do AMDA, you do that for 2.5 years. And then what was like the first, do you remember like the first project that you book as a professional actor and what that was like for you?
First, the first like professional theater gig that I booked was actually back in Richmond, Virginia. I booked my senior year of high school. I mean, I was doing all the plays and stuff in high school, right? But then Barksdale Theater, which is one of our big, you know, professional community theaters there in Richmond, Virginia, they did a really cool thing my senior year. They did an all-star high school cast for the musical Grease.
Oh, wow.
And they basically pulled, you know, the top theater kids from every high school from the different counties and let them all audition. So it was like pulling all the best of the high schools together to put it on. And I got cast as Danny in Grease. And that was like
Danny Zuko.
Yeah. It was just so, I mean, that was like one of the best experiences of my life. Cause it was like, you know, it was first of all, just like an honor to be with all these other talented high schooler, all these other kids that I hadn't even gotten to work with or meet before. Cause they weren't in my district, you know, or they weren't in my high school. So that was really fun. That was a professional show. But as far as like TV and film goes, once I moved to LA, my first, I don't know if you call this professional. I mean, it is, it's a show on TV, but it's just hilarious. My first like TV gig that I got was the show 1,000 Ways to Die on Spike TV. Do you remember that show?
I feel like I do remember the show. It just kind of like triggered a memory, but I can't remember like what exactly it is. I just know I've heard that title.
Yeah, it's basically just a show on Spike TV, and they reenact crazy ways that people have died fast.
Okay, wait, so how did you die?
And every episode they go through one of the deaths, you know? So I got cast as the guy who dies, and of course I play a complete douchebag, having a bachelor party, there's a stripper involved, I'm too aggressive with her, I go to the bathroom, and I guess I was sitting on the toilet doing a number 2 or whatever. I stand up to flush. Oh, no. No, we're in the bathroom and I'm trying to get her to give me a lap dance. So I'm sitting on the toilet. That's what it was. And then I stand up and I guess my hand slips and I flush the lever and the toilet explodes. The water pressure was built up. The water explodes. The lid of the toilet shatters on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I slip on the porcelain, and because my pants were down, because I was trying to get a lap dance or whatever, because that's what you do, and I guess when you have a lap dance, he was trying to get a little more than a lap dance. So I had
clearly.
I slip on the shard of glass in the water, and the shard of glass goes up my rectum, and I bleed to death through my butt.
I'm done.
Yeah, that was my first gig. My mom was so proud.
Oh my God.
So, and I think I got $100 for that. So I guess what I mean by is, can we call that a professional? I mean, it aired on TV.
It was on television.
It was my first credit. It's on my IMDb. But yeah, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I started with a shard of glass going up my butt.
Yeah, with glass going up the ass.
Grab my cup.
Yeah. Wow. What an amazing role.
I mean,
how did you prepare for that?
There was a lot of I was very method. I just went in there and I was like, well, I guess this is what I signed up for. And honestly, it hasn't gotten much less crazy since then. I mean, that was definitely like a wild scenario to play out, but it kind of set me up for the industry in a way. 'Cause I was like, okay, well, just be ready for anything.
You know? It can't get crazier.
As you know, right? Like in acting, you just never know what's going to happen on set, or what the director's going to ask you to do, or what the writers are going to throw at you, or if you're on stage, you know, if you forget a line, you know, I mean, or at an audition where all of a sudden they're like, can you take your shirt off? Or, hey, now we need you to juggle and do a backflip while you do this. I've been thrown into so many crazy scenarios at this point that I'm like, bring it.
Yeah.
Bring
it. I mean, our job as actors is essentially to be 100% embarrassed all the time. And that's okay. Like, that's just what we sign up to be. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be embarrassed. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of beautiful and freeing in a way. But you gotta just realize that up front and just get over it. Because there's no way to get through life, and especially this career, and never be embarrassed. Yeah. You're going to fall flat on your face a lot.
And it's great. Okay, so, you know, you've been in the industry for a while now, and you've certainly put in the work. But I want to know what, and this is something I've been asking people recently, because I'm getting very interested in this. I want to know what your personal process is as an actor. When you get a script, how do you break it down for you? Because obviously, you know, we're taught all different methods. We're taught Strasberg. We're taught, my brain's dead, but we're taught all of the things.
Right.
What has worked for you? And have you found your own kind of method to the madness?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I don't know. I guess you don't. For me, I had to, because I had trained with, I had gone to so many different schools, and, you know, started in high school in theater. And then I trained, you know, at two different high schools. And then I did musical theater. And then I switched to straight TV and film, more TV and film. Well, I'll just say scene work acting out here in Los Angeles. And then I've bounced around from teacher to teacher, and I've, you know, learned all the different techniques, whether it's Meisner, or, you know, and I think at the end of the day, it's so awesome to have all those tools in your belt to pull from, because it's important, you know. But I also feel that you gotta kind of, at the end of the day, when the lights are up or the camera's on and it's time to go, you know, nobody gives a fuck what your technique was, how you got there. Do we believe you in this? Do you believe you in this scene? Do you believe that you're in this imaginary circumstance? You know, and it's like, I think sometimes it's, for me, I was getting so caught up on like some of my training, because I had trained for so long. I was getting so caught up on like what the technique was, and, you know, how my body was looking and what part of my diaphragm I was using, that I was like not really sinking into the like truthfulness of it. So I had to kind of work for a while to shed some of the training that I got, actually, because it was getting in my head a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I don't want to take away from, I think it's so important. I think staying in class and learning as much as you can, and all, learning as many of the different techniques as you can, is so important. But I think I have to remind myself not to get too caught up on that, on too caught up in a specific way to do it. Because there's not a specific way to do it. That's why there's different techniques. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways to get there. But at the end of the day, you got to get there. If you can't get there, it doesn't matter how many training, how many teachers, how many methods you've learned, right? So I try to just, I go through the script, I read it. I think, you know, I do kind of a character breakdown. I think about where my character's coming from, what my character's been through, how my character feels about the people around them. And I try to just really, I mean, it sounds so simple and corny, but I try to just really believe that it's happening to me. And then I bring myself to it, you know? I mean, I think that's another thing. Like, I love character work, honestly. Probably the most, like, totally becoming somebody different than me. But even those characters, it's you playing the role.
Yeah.
You, like you got to find a way to connect to it and bring yourself to it, you know? So I don't know if I answered your question at all.
No, you totally did. You totally did. I mean, I think for me, I grew up with a teacher who taught me Meisner, and I didn't really know that she was teaching me Meisner until I took a Meisner class when I was an adult. And then I was like, oh my God, my childhood teacher taught me that. I had no idea what this was. Yeah. So that's kind of what I've always related to. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't necessarily say, hey, can you repeat this with me 10 times before we start this scene? No, I let it just sink into me and I let myself go and get in.
But that, you know, Meisner, because you know that that technique, you learned that listening back and forth.
Yep.
You know, the whole point of that repeating back and forth is to listen to the different ways they're saying it, because you're going to respond based off of how they're giving you that line, right? So now that you know that, you don't necessarily, you can probably get there without having to run that exercise every time.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. I mean, if I'm on a project and my scene partner wants to do that stuff, I'm like,
yes! Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. If somebody wants to do it with me, then yeah, let's do this.
But realistically, especially in TV and film, mainly in TV and film, you're not going to have that time. I mean, I haven't been on a set in years where my co-star or scene partner comes up to me and goes, hey, do you want to run some Meisner? Do you want to run an exercise? Like, yeah, I mean, it's so fast. It's all money, you know, you better come prepared. And I think that's why I still think, you know, having those tools in your belt and your toolkit are so, so, so important. But then you got to kind of get to the job, get to set, and like be able to just like
go
have the work done and then go. You know what I mean? Now, if you're doing a play, it's different. And that's why I think staying in class or theater is so important, because, you know, you do have the time to like every day kind of find something new with your scene partner, you know, and build the environment together and find these choices together. But TV and film, I mean, it's like, especially, I mean, I was on a soap opera for like
I was years. Literally just gonna ask you about that. I grew up on a soap, and I remember it's like you have one take and that's it, you gotta keep going.
Yeah, it's done. So you better come prepared, you better have your work done, and then be able to throw it out the window and just be in the moment, you know.
So how was General Hospital for you? Did you like being on it? Was it, you know, a challenge of a certain kind?
I did. I loved it. It was a great, great, great job, especially as a young actor. You know, I was in my mid-20s when I got on that show. And it's like actor's boot camp, like you said. I mean, it's just talk about being thrown to the fire. You know, you either swim, you either get your lines out of your mouth in one take, or you don't. And they're not going to, you know, if you can't do it, if you can't keep up, you're not going to keep your job for that long. So you really got to be able to adapt. You got to think quick. You have to come prepared, have your choices ready to go and your toolkit, you know, strapped on, but then you got to be able to just jump in and adapt if it changes, because it will change every day. You know, I mean, I can't remember a day I didn't walk into my dressing room and not have tons of adjustments on my lines, or a monologue was cut out, or a monologue was added, or so, you know. Yeah, it was amazing. I think one of the things that helped me, it was just nice for me to be on a professional, like a real, real, real professional show for that consistently. You know what I mean? It was like I got to finally, as an actor, be a working actor almost every day, finally getting paid enough to like survive.
Right.
Getting to work with other amazing actors and cast and crew. And you just become a part of this like thing, and you're like, holy shit, we're going, you know? It was hard for me at first, the memorization, just because it's a lot. Like, I remember my first week, I had 8 episodes, first week. And I remember they called me, they were like, hey, we realized that we haven't dropped off your scripts yet for this week. And I was starting in like 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
Or 2 or 3 days. And I was like, oh, no worries, can I come by tomorrow and pick them up? And they were like, no, you should probably come by today. And I was like, oh, okay. So I came, and it was a stack of like, and I was like, oh, that's why you wanted me to come grab these today, because it's terrifying.
Oh my
God. I literally had, I was living in a studio apartment at the time, And I had another actor friend of mine, Victor, living in my closet because we were broke. And he was literally living in my closet of my studio apartment. And I got back to the apartment and I was like, Victor, I'm not going to be able to keep this job if I don't learn all these lines in 2 days. I have 8 episodes. And it was like, when they introduce a character on a soap, it's like you have like monologues.
Right. Yeah, because they're trying to get the audience to fall in love with you super quickly. Like it's a whole thing.
Yeah. So I poor Victor, I was like, dude, you got to go, man. I got to practice. I got to learn these lines. And you know, when you're learning lines, you got to say them. Like for me, I'm walking around saying them, you know, I've got my voice recorder out. I'm talking back to myself. I'm naked. I'm fucking cooking and singing. And like, I need my space. You know? And so he left for a little bit. And then I was like, there was a motel down the street. I went and booked a motel. And I just locked myself because I felt bad. I kicked him out for a night. And then I was like, poor guy, where's he going to go? I booked a motel and my friends would just stop by. My friend Amelia, if she watches this, she came by a couple times and read lines with me and then left. And I would keep working on it. Anyways, long story short, I got through it. But the memorization stuff was scary. But then that muscle started to build. And now I can memorize, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah. That's what soaps do to you. It's great because it's like theater training like on crack, essentially, because your brain is just having to essentially memorize an entire play every single day. And you're just go, and you just don't stop. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. And it feel like which soap were you on?
I was on Days.
OK, cool. Yeah. What years were you on there?
I think like 2003, 2000. I don't know. 2004. I was a kid. I was a little one.
Yeah. So it does, the cool thing about it was, well, there's a positive way to look at it and a negative way to look at it. The positive way to look at it is you get to go through the full scene and like not stop. Like you got all set up and you get to actually act the scene out like a play.
It's true.
So cool. Because in a typical movie or show they're filming, it's like they've got a wide shot and they zoom in and get your hand and they get your one shot and they get a two or a dirty or an over the shoulder. It's like you don't really get to do the full scene a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's very chopped up, right?
Right.
That was really cool. But then on the flip side of that, they get the full scene. So you better get it right in one take.
In one take, or they're going to give you a side eye big time.
Right.
Speaking of traditional TV and film, tell me about The Walking Dead World Beyond. What was it like to join such a large franchise, like a mainstay of American TV?
Yeah, that was just really, really cool to enter into that world. You know, The Walking Dead universe is just massive.
Huge.
Fear the Walking Dead, now Walking Dead World Beyond, and then I believe they're going into a movie franchise, and they're kind of combining all the different worlds from the shows. So it was just, I mean, yeah, it was awesome. It was so cool. I mean, I read for several different roles for that show, and finally, you know, got called back or booked Lieutenant Frank Newton, who was a small part on season one, and then they brought me back for most of season two.
Wow.
As a major top of show recurring guest star or whatever, he just grew my character. And then I had this huge finale fight with Felix at the end. And it was just really cool. It was cool, one, as an actor to see how a small, something that might seem small, could turn into something a lot bigger, can grow as the story grows. So never poo-poo a job because you just don't know what it could become.
Amen.
And then it was cool as, you know, getting the play the character because I was just like, wow, like I'm a part of the Walking Dead world now forever.
Yeah.
for infinity. I'm now this character in this universe forever. And yeah, just the budget and the special effects and the stunts that I got to do and the other actors and the everything. It was just really cool. It was a little weird because we were filming during COVID and you know, the masks being on, and there wasn't as much like personal camaraderie on set, you know, like nobody was allowed to eat together. And
yeah, so that's been difficult. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a little strange, but you know, everybody, it's almost like everybody was overly friendly because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we were all trying so hard that to find that connection with each other through the masks that we had to wear and through the like distancing we had to do. So it was a really special experience, and we actually shot it in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I went to high school.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like I booked something out in LA that flew me back to my hometown. So that was like, I mean,
how cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you have kind of been integrating your way into the horror world. Tell me a little bit. You have two new films out. So let's go with The Final Rose first. It's a Tubi original. It's like The Bachelor goes horror, essentially. Yeah. Tell me about this. You play The Bachelor in it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically like, I think their log line or their pitch for it was The Bachelor meets Scream.
Amazing.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I love Scream. Who doesn't love watching and laughing at The Bachelor?
100%.
I get stuck. Bachelor too, let's be honest, it's addicting. So yeah, it was really fun. It was a great role because I got to kind of play this like charming suave guy as the bachelor, but then when the cameras were off, he's like totally checked out, doesn't really want to be there. So that playing that flip was really cool.
And
I think, you know, with a movie like that, it's a fine line of like, do we lean into it being scary or do we lean into it being funny? And we were all a little like, I was a little worried, like, is it gonna hit? Cause it's a very fine, you know what I mean? If it's too scary, it could be cheesy. If it's only funny, then it's, what is it? You know? So I think they did a really good job of making a parody kind of on the Bachelor franchise while also keeping it kind of fun and scary like a Scream. But if you remember, Scream has a lot of humor in it too, you
know? Oh yeah, I mean that's like Scream has one of my favorite lines ever in it, and it's when it's near the end when he's on the phone and he's like, my mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me. It's the right. funniest line ever.
Right It's like he's just murdered all these people and he's worried about his parents scolding him. I know, it's
brilliant.
It's so, I think, you know, it turned out really good. Tim Cruise and Blake Rutledge, the director and the writer, they did a good job of really tapping into, I think, the perfect pocket of what it should have been. Just enough scary, more fun and funny and playful than scary. And I think that was the right way to do it. So yeah, I think it's doing really well. Everybody's responding really nicely to it. And you know, I always was like kind of tempted to go on one of those shows, The Bachelor or whatever. But I was like, I've worked too hard.
Don't do it.
But now I got to play The Bachelor without having to actually go be The Bachelor. So it was the best of both worlds. Yeah.
I did a film that Mike Fleiss produced years ago. And Mike is the creator of The Bachelor. And he flew out to North Carolina, and I was like 19 at the time. And he was like, if you're ever on The Bachelor, don't be. He was like, do not get near it. And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then, okay, so your other film that is coming out is Ghosts of Hiroshima. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And that's a found footage type of horror film. We love a found footage moment.
Yes. Yeah, really excited about that one. Brandon Walker and Ashley Park, two of my friends that I've worked with in the past, you know, throughout the pandemic, they started kind of building this horror empire with these, you know, kind of smaller indie movies, and they've done pretty well, and they've got them even overseas, and the streaming platforms have really been into them, and there's a huge horror niche. You know, these horror fans, they'll find it.
If the horror movies,
no matter how big or small, they'll find it. And I think they really did a good job of tapping into that market, and they've done a few of them, and that each one has gotten a little bigger, a little better, a little bigger budget each time. And this one they asked me to do, and, you know, I liked the concept, and I said, yeah, let's do it. So we shot it, and it was cool because it was just like grassroots, just, you know, it was like a few of us. The cast was super small. They did a lot with a little, you know, and I really respect, you know, they did found footage, and they found really cool ways to make it scary and edgy and interesting with not a ton of money, you know what I mean? And it still looks really good, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And so I'm really proud of them. But yeah, I just went to the premiere of that last week, and that'll be coming out. I believe that's coming out sometime at the end of this month. And that'll be on Tubi, Amazon Prime, and Apple Plus, I believe, as well.
Perfect. All right. So we have come to the point of the show where I ask my guests to share an audition story. Now, that can be something funny. It can be something embarrassing, or, you know, it could be the big one that got away. Is there a story that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh. I mean, they just go. There's just so many. Funny? We want terrifying. Do we want inappropriate? Do we want embarrassing? Do we want, I mean, you tell me. I got them all. I'll just talk about the last one I did. I actually went in for a play.
Ooh.
And I was really excited about it. It's for the play A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
And this isn't really like a super exciting story or anything. It's just the only story I can think of right now. Because most of my auditions in the past few years have been self-tapes.
I know. And we don't get to have those bad moments in front of casting directors. It's upsetting.
Yeah. So I can't really think of a good one from the past few years that I can't even really think of. I've had to show my butt in an audition before. I've had to kiss in an audition before. I've been put on the spot where they asked me to, you know, dance and take my shirt off. And like, all that stuff has happened, but I'm trying to think of like a story. And I think because we've been self-taping for the past 3 years,
yeah.
I'm going blank, but I'll talk about my last audition. I don't really know if it's worthy of a story, but I was up for the play A Few Good Men. They're doing a production at the La Mirada theater, and mm-hmm. Really, really beautiful theater, 1200 seat theater. And I haven't done a stage show in a while, and I was really excited about this. And I was up for the lead role of Kathy, who Tom Cruise plays that character in the movie, if ever anybody's familiar with that. So it was really exciting. So it was like the lead role, and it was a theater play. It was a stage play.
Yeah.
And I'm on TV and film mainly. So I went out, you know, I drove, sat through traffic, got there. I did the scene. Well, first I sent in my tape. They really liked it. They told me to work on a few things. So I worked on a few things, learned the second scene, went up, did the scene. They liked it. She gave me some adjustments. She told me to come back the next day, pick up my cues a little bit. So I came back the next day. I picked up my cues. The second scene, I like totally went blank in my monologue and like stopped. But she was like, it's okay. I think they still liked me. They had me start over. But at the end, there's like this moment where like it literally describes in the scene that he like throws something.
Yeah.
And like script in my hand. And I just was like really in the moment. And I like threw my book at the ground, and like it slid over to like where the reader was. And it looked more aggressive, I think, than it was, because I wasn't throwing my book at her.
No.
Like, I was very specific about like throwing it at the ground, just the way it slid. And I could tell she was a little like, oh. So afterwards, I was just like, I mean, I think it went well,
yeah.
But it was one of those things where I was like, shit, like, my bad, I was not trying to throw my book at you, and maybe I should not, like, have restrained my physical movements there. But
you
I was,
were
you
in
know,
the moment.
I was in the moment. But I threw my, like, you know, I had my actual play with me.
Yeah.
The scene, and I just, like, used that moment to kind of, like, make a, you know, like, button at the end of
and
the scene.
Hey, it's a solid choice to do that. How are you supposed to know it was gonna slide?
It's just with something like that, if you are gonna do something like that, you typically would want to, you know, let the other person know,
yeah,
ahead of time, are you comfortable with this, or you whatever. But I didn't really think it out. It just kind of, I did it. Luckily it didn't hit her or anything. I apologized afterwards. I didn't get the part. but I think I don't think that was the reason why. I hope not. Because they called me back in again for the producers, and I think they liked me, but no, it was cool because, you know, and that's another good example too for like actors out there or anybody, like, you know, I didn't get that part, but I got like some type of like confidence back that I could do the stage again, you know, like it was a lot of dialogue. It's nerve-wracking to go in front of people, in front of a table of producers, in person, at a theater, especially when I've been doing TV and film mainly for the past several years, especially when I haven't done an in-person audition for anything in 3 years.
Yep.
And I did it. I got up there. I did it. I got multiple callbacks. I got all the way to producers. And I didn't get the role, but I still took it as a win. because I was like,
well, yeah. And now also those people who are in theater, those people who are making big decisions now know who you are. And they said, oh, this guy put in the work and he followed the instructions and he did this well and he did that well. And so now it's, I mean, it's always a win. If you put yourself out there, it's always a win.
Right. No, I agree. And that's such a good lesson that I've had to learn over this journey. I'm sure you have too. It's like, sometimes, you know, getting a call back is a win, you know,
yeah. So
it's out of our control. So much of it is out of your control. Like, just if you're getting out there and you're doing the work and you're getting any type of recognition, even getting an audition is like exciting. They went through, I mean, you know, however many headshots and they were like, oh, that's interesting. Or, oh, we like their reel or their resume or whatever. So you got to celebrate all the little victories. It's hard to remember. It's very hard to remember because it's like, this career can be very daunting and draining, but you know, it's important to like pat yourself on the back for those things too. So, but it got me excited again about maybe doing theater very soon. I'd like to get back on stage.
That's awesome. And what else do you have coming down the pike?
So I've got more music coming out. I just need to like get on it and plan out when we're releasing it. I've got Ghost of Hiroshima coming out in the next couple weeks. I've got a movie called Trapped In coming out at some point this year, or probably beginning of next year. I've got a movie called 6 Feet coming out as well. I've got a movie called Uglies coming out with Joey King and directed by McG, which is going to be a big, big Netflix movie.
Wow.
Play Joey King's dad in that. That'll be really exciting. What else?
Busy man.
I just had my episode of SWAT just aired. I was just on the show SWAT.
Oh, fun.
Really cool. I had a cool guest star on that, which was fun because the same week that came out was the week the Final Rose came out, and they were like, could not be more opposite characters. I was like kind of a street thug.
Don't you love that?
So I'm, you know, career wise, I'm really, really happy. I'm really grateful. A lot of things are happening. I, as long as I can keep my mental together and stay healthy in my personal life, you know, I'm excited about my career future and stuff like that. But it's just this city and, you know, making sure your soul is filled up and you're happy actually on the inside is, I think, such a huge part of the journey too. Because, do you know what I mean? It's like in between the jobs and waiting around for the jobs, you got to find a way to keep your, you know, your morale up.
Yeah.
And kind of where I'm at now in my 30s, I'm like, okay, what else is there to life? Because I've been putting all my eggs in this career basket for so long and it's paying off and I'm so grateful. But like, what else?
Right. Right. Well, I'm very excited to see what else there is for you because you are fantastic. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. How can people follow you on social media so they can keep up with all of the many things that you are doing?
Just my handle is Robert Palmer Watkins, just my full name. That's my Instagram. That's my TikTok. That's my Facebook fan page. Twitter, I think, is Robert P. Watkins. But yeah, that's, and then my music stuff. I gotta go by Palmer. So you can find me on Spotify or Apple.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. It was so great talking to you and meeting you. And yeah, stoked for everything that you have coming out.
Thank you for the time. I'm sorry if I rambled too much. I had too much coffee, I think.
There is never enough coffee. You can never have too much.
That's a good point.
Thanks again to Robert for coming on the show and spending some time with me. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure you're doing that right now. Hit that subscribe button and check out his two new films, The Final Rose and Ghost of Hiroshima. And tune in next week. I will have Renika Williams on the show. She's currently starring in The Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO. So if you haven't watched it yet, catch up on season one before tuning in. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.